It's empty. I'm telling you. I'm here now. I'm looking at it. It's empty. And I could hear people singing in the background. And I said, who is this? And he goes, it's a mirror. I'm in Jerusalem. I'm in front of the tomb. It's empty. And that's true, my friend. That's exactly right. The tomb is empty. And that was a wonderful phone call to pierce the darkness as it was early this morning. And for him to say, the tomb is empty. Well, you know what? Quite frankly, as great as that is, and as wonderful as they were having services there in Jerusalem in front of that empty tomb, the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we are glad about receiving a phone call like that. But the truth is, we don't have to get a phone call like that because Christ lives. And He lives in our hearts. And the Bible's true. And we know that God has saved us from our sins by what we celebrate today. There are many things that are creepy, my friend, about a graveyard or about a place of a tomb. Creepy things. But listen, one of the most creepiest things of all is the fact that what's not there. If you were to go to Forest Lawn today, if you were to go to some place where the dead have been entombed, have you noticed that there's some sort of an interesting thing that comes over us? We who are alive. We'll go to a graveyard. Why do we whisper in a graveyard? Why do we do that? Have you noticed that? We pull up, we shut the door quietly, we get out, we whisper, there's a hush about us. There's nobody listening, there's nobody there. We have this thing about a graveyard, we have this thing about tombs. It's where the dead are at. But we have this thing in our minds that it's somehow terrible and wrong and bad and ugly to be in a graveyard. And listen, if without the preaching of the cross, it would be a hopeless and helpless moment. But the great thing about Jesus Christ, the great thing about the gospel, is that Jesus Christ was not only risen from the dead, but all of His ministry, He was raising people from the dead. And the Bible says that this same power that raised Jesus from the dead, God says in the Bible, will raise us up also from the dead if we trust in Him. That there's coming a day when we all will stand before God. And for some of you, that could be terrifying. For some of us, it will be most exciting. But listen, there's one thing for sure. Even though there's a whisper and a reverence about a graveyard and it's a quiet place, nobody holds a party there. Nobody breaks forth in singing. But yet, it's a tremendous thing to realize that we today gather together by the thousands, not only here, but around the world, all around the globe. Millions and millions of people have come to hear the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. And that gives us great, great excitement and great hope this morning. I don't know about you, but there's a sense of boldness on resurrection morning. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you have or not. I went to Starbucks this morning, as is my normal ritual. And I walked in there and people have an extra sense of boldness today. There was no whispering about it. You walk in the door, praise the Lord, Jesus is risen. Nobody cared about who was standing around. And in fact, if you were not joining in the fact that Christ is risen and we're celebrating that, you look kind of odd. People tried to blend in. Yes, yes, of course. Yeah, Christ is risen. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were overwhelmed, the non-believer. And the guy behind the counter says, what time does service start? Everybody wants to celebrate Christ, but many people don't understand what it is that Christ has done. Well, we're going to look at some things this morning. You've got your Bible open to Luke 24. And look what it says with me there, beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, that's Sunday morning, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood them in shining garments, angels. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, the angels said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but he is risen. I want you to look carefully at verses 5 and 6 this morning. That's where we're going to hang out today in our study together. It says that as the people were afraid, the disciples, the followers of Christ, as the women came with all of their, listen, ointments, perfumes, to celebrate what they had known about Christ, to come and pay homage and worship to Him, everything was in the past tense for them. He had lived. He had died. They were coming. They were going to embalm Him. They were going to remember him. They were going to join in the sense of memorializing him. They came in the past tense. They came in the thinking of what Christ had done, but God had a great surprise for them. Three things I want you to notice. Number one in our look at this portion of Scripture this morning is that they were coming to a graveyard and they were expecting death. Now, I don't think that's altogether out of bounds. You go to a graveyard because that's where dead bodies are at. But this was no dead body. This was Jesus Christ. My friend, you've got to square with the fact that this morning we celebrate around the world the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. Not only this, but Jesus Christ, the Bible says, announced that he would be beaten, betrayed, crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead. That the events of this day and of this weekend in history were to catch nobody off guard. God was in control. God was leading and God was guiding. And the angels were there to make announcement. But when it says here in verse 5, they asked the question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? For he is not here but risen." That's my challenge for you this morning. Why do you and I go about seeking the living around the dead or among the dead? Say, Jack, what do you mean by that? Have you noticed that before we come to know Jesus and the power in his life that he gives to us, that we go around this world seeking life? Before we knew Christ, I mean, we would go to work and then after work we'd go to happy hour seeking some sort of meaning. We would work hard all week and then on Friday we would get involved in things that would last, thank God, only for a few days, and then we would safely be back at work again so we couldn't harm ourselves until the next weekend. Trying to find life, seeking life, trying to find a meaning, buying things, doing things. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying things and doing things. We get to now enjoy the Lord. But we don't seek the Lord through things of this life. Oh, if I just could have meaning in life, I'll buy this house. I'll own this kind of car. I'll get this kind of position. I'll have this kind of money. I'll wear these kind of clothes. And then I'll have it. And when people have those things, they wind up being empty. They wind up being disillusioned. And they wind up realizing they're lost. Isn't it interesting that worldwide places that are known to be paradise also hold a very interesting thing in parallel with their vacation prowess and status? Suicide. Did you know that? Did you know that people go to Hawaii and they throw themselves into the surf? People go to Hawaii to end their lives. People go to Bora Bora. Beautiful Bora Bora there in the Tahitian Islands. And they're thinking they're going to find euphoria. They think they're going to find utopia. And then when they don't, they're so disillusioned that they wind up taking their lives. They come to a graveyard 2,000 years ago, and all the disciples are expecting death. They're going to go and pay homage to Christ, but he's not there. The disciples had forgotten, my friend, and maybe we do too. The disciples had forgotten what Jesus Christ had said. In Matthew 16, 21, the Bible says, "From that time on, Jesus began to teach the disciples that he would go to Jerusalem. He would suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, but on the third day be risen from the dead." We have often forgotten, as they did, what Jesus Christ has said. My friend, this morning, no matter what's going on in your life, what is it that Jesus Christ has said? Maybe you've been away from the Bible. Maybe you've been away from God and away from church and you haven't learned again afresh what God has said. The disciples on this morning in history forgot what Jesus had said. He said, "I'm going to be betrayed and be risen from the dead." But they had forgotten that. They came to a graveyard expecting death because the disciples had forgotten what Jesus had done. They forgot what he had done. Imagine being with Jesus and all of the things that he had done. They watched him. They watched him raise the dead and heal the people. For 3.5 years, they'd been associated with watching Jesus Christ and the power, the message he would preach, the things that he would do. They not only forgot what he said, they had forgot what he had done. Imagine for a moment that Jesus Christ, if you were eyewitnesses to what he had done, for years now you had seen him do tremendous things. You saw him raise the dead. You saw him reach people that were hopeless, people possessed, people bound, and Jesus freed them. And now all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is the one that's dead. It appears that Jesus needs help. It appears that he needs a miracle. They had forgotten what he had said. They had forgotten what he had done. It's an amazing thing to imagine that the one who had done all these great things was now he himself apparently in need. But that was the furthest thing from the truth. My friend, when we begin to see that life, listen, life ends at the graveyard, we begin to lose hope and perspective. When somebody tells us the news for your life or my life, and you know it may be different. Maybe this week somebody told you that you have cancer. And for you, your life's over. Your life's not over. Listen, God could heal you. God could send, imagine, God could send all the chemo, all the research, all the treatment. God could send healing to that effect. You know, doctors can do what they want. Oh, I hope there's no doctors with us this morning. They don't like when they hear this. Doctors can only do what they can. They can only do what they've learned. But every good doctor will tell you it's God that causes the healing. No doctor can cause a healing. They can only position things and get them plugged in to hopefully spawn healing, to bring about healing. But it's God that does the healing. Maybe this morning you've woken up and you're saying, I'm going to go to church because I've been given a notice. Maybe you lost your job this week. God's got a plan. And listen, this week, this past week in our church, we had, as I announced on Friday, we had two very young children die and go see Jesus this week. And the Bible tells us that when God takes the innocent from the earth, he removes them from all of the evil that's ahead of them, and he takes them into his arms. My friend, don't ever drive by a graveyard. Don't ever walk by a tombstone and think this person's life had come to an end right here. The Bible says for every human being, everyone, be it those in heaven or those in hell, the Bible says that mankind lives forever. There is a life to be lived after death. And for some, it's an eternity in heaven. And for some, there's an eternity in hell. The Bible definitely says that once we're brought into this world, there is a life to be lived after death. They had forgotten what he had said. They had forgotten what he had done. In Mark's Gospel 7:37, the Bible says that they were astonished beyond measure when they had seen what Jesus had done. When Jesus did these great miracles. It's a tremendous thing. Another thing that we notice under this, the fact that they had come to a graveyard just expecting death and all the things associated with death. The disciples had forgotten what the Bible had said. My friend, they had the Old Testament. Now look at us. We have no excuse. We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. We've got a roadmap to eternity. They had the Old Testament and they had the promise of the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 16, verse 10, the Bible there says, "For the Lord will not allow His Holy One to see corruption of the grave." That is a messianic verse concerning Christ, that the grave would have no power over Him. That Jesus Christ and His offering upon the cross would so bring about salvation for you and I. That He would die in our place. But that wasn't all. As wonderful as Good Friday is and was, there's Resurrection Sunday morning. Everything Jesus did was awesome. But listen, on this morning in history, when Christ rose from the dead, He confirmed everything. Listen, you can argue with God all you want, but He wins every time. All I have to do is point to that tomb in Jerusalem. Or maybe you can get a phone call. And somebody says, I'm telling you now, the tomb is empty. The truth of the matter is, my friend, we need to be careful that we don't fall into the same demise and depression that the disciples did back 2,000 years ago, forgetting what the Bible said. Promising them that Jesus Christ would come back. They looked at the things associated with death. And if we begin to think that death is the end all, we're greatly mistaken. My friend, the things of this world promise life, but they give no life at all. They give no life. But I love the fact here in verses 5 and 6, the question. The angels ask a question. Don't you think it's a great question? Why do you seek the living among the dead? I mean, you got to see this. Everybody's coming. They've got the spices. They've got all the embalming fluids because they didn't get a chance to do that. They come to Jesus. They're crying. They're definitely down. And they come. The stone is rolled away. There are two angels there. And by the way, if you read the Gospels in their entirety, there's another angel sitting on top of the tombstone. That's fantastic. He rolls it back, and it's a huge stone, by the way. And by the way, since they've unearthed that tomb of Jesus there, the track that that stone moved in, they estimate that stone to weigh over 2,000 or 3,000 pounds. It was massive. And they could tell, though the stone is gone today, the track that it rolled in is there. And it was a track that was cut in the rock for a great stone. And the Bible says that the Roman Empire ordered a great stone to be rolled upon the entrance of that tomb. Nobody could break in. It took an angel from heaven to roll the stone back. And then he sits on top of it. Man, I don't know if he was sitting there doing his nails. I kind of want to see that image in his mind. But they show up. The tomb is wide open. And they take a look inside. And the angels ask this great question. Why do you seek the living? Why do you seek life among that which is dead? He's not here. He's risen. And you've got to square with that, my friend, this morning, the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that they were coming to a graveyard expecting sorrow. They were expecting death. Number two, they were expecting sorrow. They came to grieve. Their world had crashed down upon them. Psalm 42, verse 5. Listen to this. Maybe this morning life's not gone the way you want. Maybe you feel this way today. And if you don't feel this way today, cheer up. You will later. And remember this verse. You can use it. They were depressed and they were crushed. They were grieved. And Psalm 42, 5 says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember God." Isn't that a great word? My friends, listen this morning. We are not inviting you to remember Calvary Chapel or First Baptist Church or whatever. We're not asking you to remember your membership or your this or your that. My friend, remember God. Remember God today on a day like this. That the resurrection of Christ stands as the pinnacle of forgiveness for us. Are you down? Has life been disappointing to you? Are there pressures in life coming upon you? Hope thou in God. Trust Him again. Go back to where you began. Maybe for many of you today, you began as a young child following Jesus. Life came in and ripped you off. Hey, maybe even religion ripped you off. But God is not religion. Christ loves you. Jesus came for you and I. And He wants you to turn toward Him. He wants you to call out to Him. They came to grieve. But there was no grieving to be had, for He had been risen from the dead. The coming to the grave, they expected sorrow. They came to memorialize. That is, their future was now looking very sad. This is what so many times we do. Listen, when some big event happens in our life, that's a great negative. We have a tendency to look back at things and say, you know what? My life's over. And we seem to build a memorial at that. It's like if there's a death in our life, we lose a spouse or a child or a parent or whatever it is. And for some people, we've looked at that person for guidance and for leadership and for stability. This happens, you know, in so many lives that when that happens, people give up. And from that moment on, they begin to live almost like in a little fog or a daze. And they begin to memorialize the past. And their future is one that is just an existence at best. And yet the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord's plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." How many of you today just view God as angry all the time? You look at him and he's angry. You think about God and he's angry. And maybe you get that picture from church, from religious leaders, or maybe the way you were brought up, God's upset. And you begin to think, well, who wants to go to heaven? God's all bummed out. And that's not true. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of God. Joy! The Bible says there's peace. Now look, there's peace inside. Nowhere in the Bible does it say there's peace on the outside in heaven. Did you know that? Well, my good friend, you know, we'll pray for you and the family, and may your departed loved one rest in peace. Listen, if they know the Lord, they're not resting in peace. They're absolutely going crazy in heaven with rejoicing. They're praising God. They're standing up. They're clapping their hands. They're praising God. Peace inside, yes. But absolute excitement and joy on the outside. When we think of the word peace, we think of just a quiet, tranquil moment. God wants you to have peace on the inside. God wants us to rejoice on the outside. My friend, if you're looking back and you're thinking, well, you know, I've lived my life. It didn't turn out the way that I wanted. Well, my friend, today all that can change. Do not get in the mode of memorializing your life. Look to Christ this morning. He's alive. Look to God. And be encouraged. They came expecting sorrow. They came to cry. They had given up. They came to look at the things associated with sorrow. And sorrow obviously brings about a cry in our lives. But look, they were not coming with party hats and trumpets. They didn't understand. They were weeping. They were crying. And so the angel asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? They were crying. Sorrow brings tears. And the Bible says, listen everybody, the Bible says that God will wipe away every tear. Is that not good news? Can somebody say amen to that? God will wipe away every tear. In this world we have tears. In this world we have sorrow. In this world we have times of disappointment. But the Bible says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, says Christ. The third and final thing I want you to see this morning is this. They were coming to the graveyard expecting nothing. Expecting nothing. I'm going to give you three things on how and why they were expecting nothing. Number one, they thought that the faith that they had was now lost. Imagine, they put all their faith in Jesus and all of their innocence, they put their faith in Christ. Now remember that, those of you who know your Bible. James and John were fishermen. They had a company. Jesus came by and he says, come and follow me. And they got up and they followed him for 3.5 years. They followed Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. He had a great source of income. Jesus walks by and he says, come and follow me. And Matthew left all of his income and followed Jesus. These guys were not stupid. Something was going on. They put their faith in Jesus, and now 3.5 years later, where were they? Seemingly, the faith that they had put in him was now lost. Jesus is dead. And they had come to the grave expecting nothing. Luke chapter 24, verses 8 to 12 says, and when the women had remembered Jesus' words, hey ladies, did you realize that women were the first evangelists ever mentioned in Scripture? When the women remembered what Jesus had said, they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the disciples and to the rest of them. But their words seemed to them to be like idle tales, and they would not believe the women. Listen to this. Number one, but Peter rose up. You may not have any faith today in God, but listen. In the moment of Peter's expecting nothing, he rose up. Number two, it says he ran to the tomb. Number three, stooping down. Number four, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. Number five, he departed. Number six, he marveled within himself. Number seven, at what had happened. Seven steps to renewing faith. What the women had said seemed like a story. Now look, as a Christian, Maybe somebody's invited you here today and they've said to you, you can start life all over again, friend. Yeah, right. No, listen, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He can take away the guilt that you carry in your heart. You can start all over. You can weigh 500 pounds and today be forgiven and feel like a feather. You can have all the guilt and all the shame of everything you've ever done wrong and no longer hide it, but be forgiven. You can feel like a child again. Yeah, right. Well, listen to what Peter did. When he heard those words, he got up and he ran. My friend, you need to get up and you need to run, not out of here. Run to Christ. Now listen. He stooped down. He looked inside. He took evaluation. He concluded something had happened. We've gathered here by the thousands and it's a beautiful moment and it's so still and peaceful. Yeah, I see. Listen, I see you fanning. It's hot. I tell you what, I'll trade you what you're wearing right now. You could cook an egg, I think, on my back. But you know what? Calvary Chapel, you know the answer to this, right? It's hot right now, but for the Christian, this is what? As hot as it gets. This is as hot as it gets for us. Examine the evidence, my friends. Look around. Don't take the fact that there are thousands of people here that believe. What about you? You need to get up like Peter and you need to run and examine the evidence and you need to come to a conclusion. You know what? I can have faith in Christ, not faith in Jack, not faith in church, not faith in Billy Graham, not faith in the Pope, faith in Christ. It's Jesus who rose again from the dead. No man will ever do that for you. It's Jesus who said, I'm going to the cross for you. You can put faith in Christ today. They came to the grave expecting nothing because their hope had been gone. Their hope was now lifted since Friday. Jesus had died. Their hope was not gone. God was about to infuse hope back into their life. Why? Because faith was beginning to stir once again. My friend, the moment faith begins to be stirred up, hope begins to come into your life. Look quickly. All of us know what it's like to have disappointment. Maybe there's a ruling. Maybe there's a decision. Maybe something is said. You get something in the mail and you begin to quit. And there's another notice. Or maybe there's a thought. Or maybe somebody says, well, you know what I was thinking? And you know what? There seems to be a little bit of a loophole here. They missed this part. And all of a sudden, hope's renewed. Do you know what I'm talking about? It could be in anything of life. From buying something to sickness to a relationship. So many times in our lives, misunderstanding breeds a sense of losing faith and losing hope. But listen to this. Luke chapter 24 goes on to say in verse 13, now behold, two of the disciples were traveling on that same day that Jesus had risen from the dead to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. By the way, it still is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together regarding the things that had happened. And so it was when they conversed and reasoned among themselves that Jesus Christ himself drew near to them and went alongside them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not recognize him. And Jesus said to them, verse 17, what kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? Don't you love his questions? They're kind of hilarious, in my opinion. He knows. Look, he knows everything. And it's cool because he comes alongside. Hey, what's up? What are you guys all bummed about? And they were divinely veiled from recognizing who he was. Hey, what are you guys so sad about? Notice what they say in Luke 24, verse 18. Then one of those who was named Peter, actually, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known these things which happened here these days? And he said to them, verse 19, what things? What is Jesus doing? Listen, he's drawing. Are you listening? We're almost done. Everybody, listen. Jesus comes alongside, walks with them, and says, what are you bummed about? They say, what are you, a stranger? It's obvious. Jesus says, what things? He's drawing out of them faith again that their hope might be renewed. And they said this, verse 21, but we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today's the third day since these things have happened. And yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early this morning, they were astonished and they astonished us. And when they did not find His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said to them that He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Him. Then Jesus said to them, verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Listen to what He says, verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? And at the beginning of Moses and all of the prophets, Jesus expounded to them from the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And then Luke 31 says, then their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus opened to us on the road the Scriptures? My friend, listen, finally we'll be done with this. They're coming to the graveyard expecting nothing. God was stirring their faith again, hope to be renewed. Listen, they thought the love that they had died. But the truth of the matter is, love was just about to greet them once again. Can you imagine these angels wondering, why do you seek the living among the dead? They had to be scratching their halos. What's wrong with these humans? What are they thinking? God gave them the Bible and they still doubt. God gave them His Son. He died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. And yet they still doubt. And now the tomb is empty. And there's an angelic witness. And the angels say, why do you seek the living among the dead? And yet still they doubt. Amazing, isn't it how we are? I don't know about you, but when I was such a little goofball kid growing up, that when I wanted something really bad, and look, if you agree with me, nod your head, and if you don't, nod your head anyway so you don't hurt my feelings. But why is it when you're a little kid and you're really hungry, or there's something that mom's serving up that's exactly what you want, you go into this kind of a weird fit? You want it, but you don't want it. You're hungry. Mom gives it, but you reject it. You push it away. And what is with that? There's this thing within us. I want an ice cream. So your dad buys you an ice cream, and then you don't eat it. You push away from it like it's cursed. Have you seen little kids do that, or is it just me? I think I still do that. But here God says, I love you. No, you don't. Yes, I do love you. Nobody loves me. God says, I love you. Nobody loves me. I don't even love me. Jesus says, I love you. And we fight against the thing that we want to hear the most. We fight against, listen, hope. We fight against faith. We fight against the love of God. There may be some big burly guy sitting next to you, or it could be some burly woman sitting next to you today. And you're thinking, I don't need the love of God. I can do this on my own. My friend, you cannot do this on your own. Impossible. And in time, if you don't yield to Him today, in time you will. Better now than in eternity. My friend, what are you looking for in this world? Why do you seek life among those who are dead? Why do you go out into the world and think if you just have enough sex, enough rock and roll, enough drugs, enough whatever, that you're going to find life? My friend, the things that we seek in this world only bring us closer to death. Why do you seek the living among the dead? My friend, listen to this. Last verse and we're done. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Jesus Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us all to God by being put to death in His flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? My friend, this morning you can become a new creation in Christ. You can come alive by giving your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone to sit very still as we now enter in to the most holy part of this service, and that is giving you an opportunity on this glorious day to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as I challenge you in a moment, you're going to feel very uneasy. Listen, you're going to feel uneasy. You're going to feel like you can't do this. Listen, you're going to hear things in your head like, I can't get up. There's too many people in the row that I'm sitting in. You're going to hear things like this in your head. Someone's going to think I'm a fool. You're going to hear things in your head like, oh, you know what? I'll just do it some other day. All the effort that we mere humans have put together today. You guys, listen. Let's honor God. Look what He did for us with the weather. Look what He's doing for us right now. You know what? This has been established for a moment, for such a time as this. My friend, you need to make a decision today about Jesus Christ. And listen, you need to do it publicly. Jesus Christ hung on the cross naked. Publicly. The least that you can do today is say, God, I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I thank You for being risen from the dead for me. And the least that I can do is say thank You by getting up and publicly confessing Christ. I'm going to ask you to think about that right now. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads. Christians, be praying. Nobody moves. Nobody blocks an aisle. This is a holy moment. Father, we come to You now and we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would so move upon this place that, God, first of all, we'd be so grateful and thankful for all that You've done. You've moved heaven and earth to bring us to this moment. And in our lives, You've moved us from one place to another. You've caused things to happen in our lives. Difficult, terrible things to get our attention today. Father, I pray that You would so move. That, Lord, You would capture by Your love these today that will make decisions for You. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I also want to make a plea to the Christian who's been away from God, and you're saying, I'm going to come back today. I'm going to give my life. I know that as I look around this world, the days are short and Christ is coming soon. And I'm going to make my life again right with God. I'm going to come back to the Lord. This morning, if you're dedicating your life to Christ, or if you're rededicating your life to Christ, I want you to come forward and stand at the foot of this stage, and I'll lead all of us in a prayer together. While we sing this song, will you come right now and stand right here? Don't be shy. Come forward right now, my friend. Don't hold out on God any longer. He died on the cross for you. You can now live for Him now. Why don't you come?
Into Your hands I commit again. With all I am for You, Lord. You hold my word.
Out, if there's a stirring in your heart and you know, man, I need to do that, but and you're worried about what people are thinking. My friend, the Bible says that we'll all stand alone before God. No one holds our hand into heaven. You need to make that decision today. And you know what? You can mark this day down in your life and say, man, on that resurrection morning, I gave my heart to Christ and Jesus forgave me of my sin and He cleansed me. And now I'm going to live for Him for all time and eternity. God will take you into His heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Imagine that. That moment will come in your life when it's time to die. And the angels will be dispatched from heaven to receive you into the presence of God. Don't gamble with your life. Choose Christ today. You come now. Don't wait.
Of Your ways.
Now, if you would, imagine for a moment, we're going to pray in a moment, and if you would think like this in your mind, that there's a big gate, and that gate is starting to close. You know, it's almost like catching a train. My wife and I drove down to Fullerton to get on the train, and you know, trains don't wait for people. They don't wait. That train pulls in, and it's there for like 3 minutes, and then it goes. And they don't care if you have high heels or not. They don't care if it's raining or not. They don't care about your story. The train begins to move. Right now, the plea goes out and God is saying, come on. Get on the train. Come on, let's go. The train is going to pull away at some appointed time and it won't wait any longer. I've seen some soldiers in our gathering today, and you better make sure that you know Jesus if you head off to war. Imagine every one of us daily heading off to war. You might say, yes, Jack. Boy, those guys need prayer. Listen, without Christ, we're all in a war zone. We need Him now. One more moment, and then we'll come to the Lord.
I will worship. I will worship.
Ask something a little bit different of all of you who are believers. Imagine for a moment, all of you have come forward. You are about to give your life. Think of this. Give your life to God. And here's the beautiful thing about it. There's nothing that you can offer up now as an excuse. Jesus, I want you, but are you sure you want me? Oh, yeah. You say, well, Jesus, I'm such a big sinner. Are you sure you can handle it? Listen, the Bible boasts about the biggest sinners. Not one of you have committed a sin so great that Christ could not forgive. Not one of you today. To those of you who are thinking this morning, oh man, I've blown it so bad, and would God want me? Listen, the more we realize how bad we blew it, the Bible says that when we know that God has forgiven us, we wind up having a greater love for the Lord, because Jesus says the one who is forgiven much loves much. There's nothing like appreciating something that otherwise you could never have. Those of you who have come forward, your lives will never be the same. I want to be the first to tell you that today you may be struggling, and even as you go home today, you're wondering, did it really take, Lord? Did it really stick? Listen, in fact, for some of you, you might even go home today wondering, did I really mean it? Was I serious? I got great news for you. God, this morning, Jesus Christ is very serious about His commitment to you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says, you are in my hands now and in my Father's hands, and nothing, no one shall ever pluck you out of our hands. From this moment on, when we pray together, You will forever be in the everlasting arms of Christ. Sins being forgiven. And now here will be the proof that Christ has forgiven you as you go today. You know, God forbid, but it's going to happen. Someone's going to cut you off leaving the parking lot. You might go back to your bicycle or your Ferrari and there's a new dent in it. And the thought's going to go, what? Look what happened, Christians. And then you're going to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm new. I'm a new creation of Christ. I shouldn't think like that. You guys, that's a sign of life. From this moment on, God's going to be changing your mind. You're going to think different. Instead of turning and snapping at somebody, you're going to be nice. And you're going to say, what in the world was that? Who am I? And the Bible says that it's now Christ living His life through you. My friend, Christianity is not something you do. It's what Christ does in you and through you. The Holy Spirit is about to come into your life. The rest of you seated, you are either Christians this morning or you're still bailing out on God. And the good thing is the gospel's gone forth and you will never be able to say to God, I did not hear the gospel. I'm sorry, Lord, somehow I messed up. This morning, those of you who are seated, you are either a Christian or you're not. These have come forward and they have passed, the Bible says, from judgment to life. Those of you who are Christians out there, at beyond these, sitting, why don't you raise your hands? We're going to pray. I know this is unusual. This is what I'm saying is unusual. But it looks awesome. Raise your hands. We're going to pray. Those of you that are here, pray with me. Pray out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me now and to write my name in your book of life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being risen from the dead. I give you my life. I now pledge my life to you. I now call you Jesus, Lord and Savior. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. All right, listen up. It's very important that you listen to what I'm about to say or you'll never find your loved ones again. I'm going to ask all of you to go to your right, to the courtyard. Now listen, here's the instruction. We're going to give you Bibles as you just walk that way. And those of you who have these loved ones up front here, you'll be able to relocate them in the courtyard. We want to welcome you to the house that the Lord's provided for us. It's open house everywhere. Simultaneously right now, our Spanish service should be coming to a conclusion in the sanctuary. But we want you to look around and just give God thanks for what He's given us here. We're so grateful to Him. And in the courtyard, you can pick up all these wonderful friends and brand new family members of yours. Let's all stand together as we close in this song. And as these new believers make their way over, they'll meet you over here. God bless you guys. You can make your way to the courtyard right over there. Let's end in worship.
Amen. Once again, God has proven Himself to be right on time. Amen. Yeah, let's worship the Lord with on-time God. You guys ready?